This is an Audio Holdings production.
Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad. Jim originally came from a parsonage. He was one of five sons, and when, after a course of light holiday literature, his vocation for the sea had declared itself, he was sent at once to a training ship for officers of the mercantile marine. He was generally liked, having a steady head with an excellent physique. He was very smart aloft, while on the lower deck, in the babble of 200 voices, he would forget himself and live in his mind the sea life of light literature. He saw himself saving people from sinking ships, cutting away masts in a hurricane, swimming through a surf with a line, or as a lonely castaway, barefooted and half-naked, walking on uncovered reefs in search of shellfish to stave off starvation. He confronted savages on tropical shores, quelled mutinies on the high seas, and in a small boat upon the ocean, kept up the hearts of despairing men, always an example of devotion to duty and as unflinching as a hero in a book.
"Something's up! Come along!"
He leapt to his feet. The boys were streaming up the ladders. Above could be heard a great scurrying about and shouting. And when he got through the hatchway, he stood still, as if confounded. It was the dusk of a winter's day. The gale had freshened since noon and now blew with the strength of a hurricane in fitful bursts that boomed like salvos of great guns firing over the ocean. The air was full of flying water. There was a fierce purpose in the gale, a furious earnestness in the screech of the wind that seemed directed at him.
"Collision! Just ahead of us! Mr. Simon saw it!"
A push made him stagger against the mizzenmast, and he caught hold of a rope.
"Lower away!"
He saw the boat manned, drop swiftly below the rail, and rushed after her. His shoulder was gripped firmly.
"Too late, youngster."
The captain of the ship laid a restraining hand on the boy, who seemed on the point of leaping overboard.
"Better look next time. This will teach you to be smart."
After 2 years of training, he went to sea, and entering the region so well known to his imagination, found them strangely barren of adventure. He made many voyages. His prospects were good. He was gentlemanly, steady, tractable, with a thorough knowledge of his duties. And in time, when yet very young, he became chief mate of a fine ship without ever having been tested by those events of the sea that show, in the light of day, the inner worth of a man. Only once in all that time he had again the glimpse of the earnestness in the anger of the sea. He was disabled by a falling spar at the beginning of a week, of which his Scottish captain used to say afterwards, "Man, it's a perfect miracle to me how she lived through it." Jim spent many days stretched on his back, dazed, battered, hopeless, and saw nothing but the disorder of his tossed cabin. He lay there and felt secretly glad he had not to go on deck. Now and again, an uncontrollable rush of anguish would grip him bodily, make him gasp and writhe under the blankets, and fill him with a despairing desire to escape at any cost. Then fine weather returned, and he thought no more about it. His lameness, however, persisted, and when the ship arrived at an eastern port, he had to go to the hospital. His recovery was slow, and he was left behind. Directly he could walk without a stick, he descended into the town to look for some opportunity to get home. Nothing offered just then, and while waiting he associated naturally with the men of his calling in the port. The majority, like himself, had been thrown there by some accident and had remained as officers of country ships. They had now a horror of the home service, with its harder conditions, severer view of duty, and the hazard of stormy oceans. They were attuned to the eternal peace of eastern sky and sea. They loved short passages, good deck chairs, large native crews, and the distinction of being white. To Jim, that gossiping crowd, viewed as seamen, seemed at first more unsubstantial than so many shadows. But in time, there grew up slowly another sentiment. And suddenly, giving up the idea of going home, he took a berth as chief mate of the Patna. The Patna was a local steamer, as old as the hills, lean like a greyhound and eaten up with rust worse than a condemned water tank. She was owned by a Chinaman, chartered by an Arab, and commanded by a sort of renegade